Hanging by the Rim.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. This is a big morning for the multitudes who depend on the BlackBerry mobile email device and the company that makes it, Research in Motion. A court will weigh in on whether RIM is illegally using patented technology to drive its devices. Lisa Napoli has more.
The fate of 10 million thumbs across America rests in the hands of U.S. District Judge James Spencer. Today, he decides whether BlackBerry maker Research in Motion must stop using technology another company claims to have patented. A ruling against Research in Motion could mean a BlackBerry blackout by the end of March. Dave Mabe wrote a book about the BlackBerry. He says for many, the prospect of a world without the devices devotees call crackberries is unnerving.
It's because people have come to rely on it that they are so uneasy and worried about the possibility of it being interrupted or even going away.
Research in Motion says it has a backup plan in case Judge Spencer rules against it. Others say the fact the feds and many state governments rely so much on the devices means there's no way the judge will pull the plug. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The new Medicare prescription drug plan may not be a big hit with the elderly, but it's surely got fans in the Fortune 500. A study from Credit Suisse First Boston finds that America's largest companies can expect a $4 billion handout as part of the Medicare plan starting this month. Essentially, the firms get paid to simply keep workers on existing drug plans and not shift them to Medicare. General Motors stands to get more than $1 billion over the next 4 years. The Food and Drug Administration's been under fire for sluggishness in approving generic drugs. This week, it tried to make good, announcing it had okayed a generic version of the popular nasal spray Flonase. But yesterday, the drug's maker, GlaxoSmithKline, took legal action to halt the move. Helen Palmer reports from the Health Desk at WGBH.
Flonase earned Glaxo more than $1 billion last year. So when the drug's patent expired, the company filed a couple of petitions. These contained technical queries that the FDA had to answer before a generic Flonase could be okayed. But the agency approved the generic without dealing with the petitions. So the company went to federal court to get a temporary restraining order on the approval. Glaxo spokesperson Mary Ann Ryan.
The FDA seems to have applied one set of standards and expectations to Flonase and a different, less rigorous set of standards and expectations to the generic product, so it was not a level playing field.
Ryan says company lawyers are preparing a legal challenge to the FDA, arguing it failed to comply with the Food and Drug Act when it approved the competitor. The FDA says it doesn't comment on pending lawsuits. Meanwhile, the maker of generic Flonase, Roxane Laboratories, says it's already started to ship the product to pharmacies. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
There really is no free lunch, especially at Applebee's. The restaurant chain saw its earnings drop 8% in a year. CEO Lloyd Hill was in line for a $1 million bonus, but Applebee's board took it off the table. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a four-year high on Wednesday, but took a chill pill yesterday. It lost 68.6%. This is Marketplace. Carnival begins today in Brazil, a $500 million boost to the economy of Rio and a festival of feathers. But this year, that's a problem. Paulo Prada reports.
One of the greatest shows on earth is scrambling to make showtime. Samba schools rely heavily on feathers for those barely there costumes. But because of avian flu, Brazil banned imports from Asia and Africa. That's Carnival's main source of pheasant feathers, peacock plumes, and rooster tails. The shortage of imported feathers is boosting Brazil's ostrich industry. That's Adair Ribeiro, president of the Ostrich Farms Association. He says demand for feathers has soared so much, farmers can't keep up. Feathers have been in such short supply that samba schools have had to pluck last year's costumes to recycle plumage for this year's parades. From Rio de Janeiro, I'm Paulo Prada for Marketplace.
Produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, honoring Black History Month, valuing diversity as an investment in business excellence. HR, leading people, leading organizations. SHRM.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. It's getting harder and harder to light up in American cities. The big ones, New York, Los Angeles, have banned smoking in restaurants and even bars. Chicago finally caved in to the peer pressure last month, and that's perfect timing for the city's new luxury smoking lounge, Diantha Parker reports.
Belly up to the darkly polished bar at Marshall McGarity Tobacco Artisans, and someone like tobacconist Amanda Monfro will guide you through the store's 9 custom blends.
This is going to be the Empress. This base tobacco is oriental and burley, and it has peach and fig infusions, so it has this really sweet, delicate aroma of peach and fig.
You choose your blend. Along with the Empress, there's the Virginian, the Earl, North Star, and Muse. She loads the tobacco into a rolling machine designed especially for the store. The abacus-like contraption presses the tobacco into 20 paper wrappers embossed with a gold logo.
Cut off the frilly ends so they look more like a commercial cigarette.
The smokes go into a flat, lavishly designed box and sell for $8, about $2 more than a regular pack costs down the street. The store is a brainchild of RJR Reynolds. With their industry continually under attack, RJR decided to try selling exclusivity. A smoker of these cigarettes is a connoisseur who doesn't care what people, or civic ordinances, think about them. The faux old-school name was concocted by RJR. Half comes from Jerry Marshall, an in-house tobacco blender. And the other half, appropriately, comes from Larry McGarity, RJR's advertising guru. RJR marketing director Brian Stebbins points out that people are already paying more for chocolate or coffee they're told is special.
We're trying to compete in that everyday reward for myself, something special for adult smokers who are interested in the best and willing to pay for it.
The store has been open just 2 months, but a collection of hipster regulars can be found on the cozily arranged antique furniture. The $8 premium pack includes an all-day seat at the only place in town you can smoke inside. That's because it makes 65% of its income from tobacco sales, so it's exempt from the new smoking ban. Fingering his dreadlocks, customer John Neiser says smokers who resent big tobacco are wasting their time.
Like, I've run into people like, oh, that's owned by R.J. Reynolds, I'm not going in there. Then they light up an American Spirit. R.J. Reynolds owned American Spirit for about 10 years now, you know? Like, but it doesn't say it on the packaging or whatever. And people are like, they're hypocrites, basically.
Neiser says he's going to keep coming, even though the price of these already expensive smokes is about to go up. The county plans to raise the cigarette tax by $1. In Chicago, I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
There is administrative profession.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.